Joining us now, she's on the Golf Channel's Morning Drive, Paige McKenzie. Paige, welcome into the golf shop.
Glad to be on. It's an exciting week.
Yes, it is. I mean, we're the lead up to the Masters. We got a major going on in the LPGA. Lexi Thompson kind of warming up, I guess, for the first 2 days. Is she going to be able to seal the deal on this over the weekend?
She's definitely my favorite that's on the leaderboard right now. Ball striking is never an issue with her. She's hitting it great. As always on this golf course, but more importantly, she had this putter change from last week that has just changed her world. She had 8 3 putts last week, was averaging 35 putts a round, and now she's down to 28 putts on average for the first two rounds of the week. So if she can keep that putter warm, watch out.
Are we holding our breath a little bit, though? We've seen this traditionally, like even when Adam Scott was first switching back over to the short putter, there was rounds where you're like, oh, he's putting great. And then there's that one round where you're like, ooh, you kind of cover your eyes. Are we maybe holding our breath a little bit to see if that happens?
Oh, certainly that can be the case. We even saw that a little bit with Stacey Lewis when she changed at Founders Cup a couple of weeks ago. The first two rounds were great, and then it cooled off a little bit on the weekend or on Sunday. This putter is so dramatically different. It's not just a different look. It looks quite a bit heavier. I'd be very curious to know exactly what the new specs are on the putter, but it looks quite a bit heavier, quite a bit bigger. And it sits on the ground much better than her previous putter. She plays the ball so far outside of her eye line, that it seems to suit that type of stroke and setup a little bit better than her other putter. So I think it's more than a fluke. I think this could be a really good fit for the stroke that she's got.
Well, since we're talking about putting, one of our other favorite players, Michelle Wee, who made the cut, will play on the weekend and actually had her first round, sub-70 round this season yesterday. She's still working through some very strange quirks in her putting, we'll say. She's at the feet apart tabletop, and now what they're calling the Nicklaus. What is going on with our girl Michelle?
She's an incredibly creative person, and she really has developed her own strokes, which is incredible. Since we've been around golf for a very, very long time, but the table topping, she put it into play in 2013, jumped up to fourth in putting average on the LPGA Tour. So that certainly has historically worked well for her. Putting's declined over the last couple seasons, and then she started implementing, like you called it, the Nicklaus for the short putts, the crouch position. She implemented the tabletop because she thought short-statured players were better putters or closer to the ground. So that's how she started the tabletopping. The crouch, I feel like, is very much the same. She must have a better feel the closer she gets to the ground. So she's heavily crouched over. She uses a left hand low. So it's definitely a different stroke than what Jack Nicklaus had in play, because he used a lot of hands and wrists. But I can't argue with it. You know what? The tabletop paid off. Maybe the Nicklaus is going to pay off for her too.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, they seem to pay off short term. I mean, like you say, I mean, when she had her win at the U.S. Open, she hasn't really been a factor since. But and the Nicklaus, if you're trying to describe this for our listeners, because we can't show it, it's, if you remember Jack, you have his knees kind of close together, one almost overlapping the other, his feet were really close together, and he was a little bit contorted, almost as if he had to use the bathroom. Michelle is very
it
much
is.
The
it's
same
like a
way.
Kid, yeah.
She looks like
putting
a little kid stuck with her mom at Bed Bath & Beyond, and she has to use the potty. And mom is looking at curtains and window treatments, and we got to do it. If that works for her, I'm all for it. I'm a huge Michelle Wee fan. I'm obviously a huge LPGA fan, but I would love to see a resurgence in her game.
Without question, because there is no doubt in anybody's mind that she has all of the tools necessary to win on a regular basis. That is the one unwavering thing you can say about Michelle Wee. It's always been the case. She continues to add shots to her repertoire. She worked as hard as anybody out there. So you really, as a fan of the game, you want to see that hard work pay off, because she's got it all.
All right, so I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at the leaderboard, and Lydia Ko is tied for third with a bunch of people, one shot back. Mm-hmm. Is this the kind of day where we get that Tiger effect from Lydia Ko, where everybody is going to be watching where she is on the leaderboard, watching what she's doing, and potentially Lizette Salas, that's playing along with her, gets sucked into the vortex that people used to have happen with Tiger Woods when they were in a major championship.
Lydia Ko quite has the presence that Tiger did. I think if it were Michelle Wee had the resume that Lydia Ko has right now, the way that she overpowers the golf course, you would have that intimidation factor a little bit more. Lydia Ko plays with such finesse. It really, I was shocked to like finish the day yesterday and realize she's one back. She makes it look so effortless, and it wasn't even like she was playing well. Like, it just seemed like she was getting the ball around. And then she adds up at the end, and she's like, oh, yeah, it was an okay day, and I'm in, one back.
Well,
so I don't think she quite has the same effect that Tiger Woods had, because there was something about the way that he played that really overpowered and intimidated in a way that Lydia Ko doesn't. She just goes about her business, and all of a sudden it adds up, and she's winning tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, her biggest problem yesterday was all the pollen and stuff in the air. I mean, apparently everything in the desert bloomed, and she was miserable. I mean, she had her caddy wiping her eyes with a towel. She was miserable and still sits one back.
Yeah, Randall Mell from GolfChannel.com was reporting that she actually was using her right contact lens in her left eye because she ran out of contact lenses. She kept trying to replace them throughout the round and ended up with a right one in her left eye by the end of the day because she was having so much irritation, which that's even crazier. She said she, quote, played one eye blind yesterday. And she's, what, 68?
Yeah, that has to worry the rest of the field.
Seriously.
Again, we're talking with Golf Channel's Paige McKenzie. And Paige, let's transition over to a little golf tournament they call the Masters at Augusta National. We talked earlier about Jason Day. He's the odds-on favorite. Is he your favorite going into next week?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. Because I feel like you could flip a coin between Day, Scott, and Rory, all playing well in form and had success there. Oh, yeah, I guess. I mean, I didn't think he was even going to complete the match play.
Right.
After the back issue, I thought, okay, well, he'll sit out. But the guy has more guts than we've seen in a while. Is combating the vertigo things that he's been through, the injuries he's been through. I just, it's very hard to bet against him because he seems to do the best work when you least expect it.
Yeah, but the Masters tends to exaggerate any weakness. And if he's got a health issue or he's got a mental block, it's going to show up there. I would say none of those guys are going to win next week. It's not going to be one of those top five guys. We're going to see somebody else. Maybe not from deep in the field. Maybe not, you know.
Who do you have?
Yeah, well, he's got all the lefties.
I like left-handed players who spend a lot of time in the woods.
That's not a bad bet either.
Because they remind me of someone that I'm very close to.
A good close friend of his, yes.
Can I throw out another dark horse to keep an eye on?
Yes.
Bill Haas.
Ooh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, played very well at Valspar a couple weeks ago. He finished top 12 here last year. Just quietly going about his business. Has had a wonderful career. Who knows? Maybe it's time for a major champion.
Well, I can safely say, because the way things work is when I pick somebody, generally the next time that they play, they win. So I have Jason Day, I have Hideki Matsuyama, and now that the Willett family has their baby, I have and he's going to play. I have Danny Willett. So look for those three to win their next event after the Masters.
Yeah, your pick is the KOD, yes. Total kiss of death.
Go to Vegas for the week after.
Yes.
Now, here's a question. You're a guy like Bill Haas, and you're in contention on Sunday at the Masters. Saturday night, you're choosing your outfit. Are you thinking what's going to look good with your green jacket, or you're sticking with what you put in your bag for the weekend?
Oh, you are for sure picking what looks good in green. I used to pick my winners of the A&A Inspiration based on what would look okay wet. they wearing white pants or white shirt, they're not winning the golf tournament. They weren't thinking ahead.
They have to get the robe to them very quickly at that point.
Yeah, I mean, that's seriously, that's one of the great traditions in golf, and that is by far my favorite golf tournament to attend. And it just, but I kind of liked the pond better when it was all gross. And it had, like, you know, it had all that sludge in it. And they've really cleaned it up. It's more like a pool
now. It's separated.
Now.
Yeah, it's separated.
Oh, yeah, it's not a natural pond anymore. The last couple of years, people came out of there just covered in like, swamp mess. It was awesome.
They got sick.
Yeah,
there was someone that got sick from the water. And that's what prompted, from what I understand, that's what prompted them to recreate that into a concrete pool, effectively.
All right, so of what we're calling the big three right now, Spieth, McIlroy, and Day, if one of them doesn't win, who's going to be the one that finishes highest out of those three?
Mm. Ooh, I'll go Spieth.
Mm.
I'll go Spieth. He doesn't have any bad memories there.
That's true.
He's only got 22 years of memories, period.
I mean, well, none of them are old enough to have really bad memories, except maybe Rory. Rory's got a bad memory of number 10. If he can just play number 10 even par for the week, he might win.
Yeah.
I have twice as many bad memories.
It's going to be a great week, guys. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I mean, we've already got the weather report that by the end of the week, I mean, they're going to be in the mid-70s to low 80s, so it's going to be one of those weeks where it's going to be good weather, the ball's going to be traveling. Let me ask you a quick question, though. We're hearing dissension in the ranks about the potential of hole number 13 being lengthened. They bought the property behind, or they've negotiated the property from behind. What do you feel like... I mean, my opinion is I liked 13 when guys actually had to make a decision. They had to hit a good tee shot and make a decision. Now everybody's just ripping 3-wood around the corner, or Bubba's hitting it over the trees. Even for me, 20 yards brings back the options on that hole a little bit. Do you agree or disagree with maybe just adding a little bit of length?
My overall philosophy is that you don't need length to be a great golf course. But I think golf holes should be played the way that the architect intended it to be played. And unfortunately, because the golf game has gotten so long, I don't know if 13 is being played and being set up the way that it was intended to be played. And for that reason, I'm okay with lengthening golf holes as long as it keeps the original intent and philosophy of the architect behind it.
Well, I think last week was a good example. The Austin Country Club was not long. It was tricky. It was hilly. It was windy. It was a wonderful golf course to play that tournament.
Absolutely. And I think that we can have many golf courses like that, but there are certain golf holes and certain golf courses that are suddenly being ripped apart or by players that are now completely taking all the obstacles out of play, landing areas in places that aren't intended to be landing areas. And I think that courses can be adjusted to compensate for that. And I think they've had to have been over the years. I wish that they didn't. I wish that you could, you know, build a golf course that grows with time without having to literally be lengthened.
All right. I'm going to take you back to the ladies' side for a very quick question about our good friend Paula Creamer. What can we expect from her? To me, she's like my Sergio Garcia. I imagine that she has won way more than she actually has. Like, in my head, both she and Sergio have had much grander careers than they have. Can she come back and be a factor, or is she sort of working her way through the latter years of what is an early exit?
Oh, great question. She doesn't have a significant amount of power, and I think that's potentially going to hold her back in the end. You wouldn't believe it, but the LPGA plays their golf courses much, much longer than the PGA Tour if you go based off of driving distance and clubs into the hole. I think over actually the last 2 years, LPGA has finally adjusted and realized, like, hey, our courses have almost gotten too long, which maybe explains why scoring has been a little bit better, because they're making par fives reachable for more of the field, and they're making par fours where you're not hitting 5-iron in if you're not, you know, blasting at 270 off the tee. So I think she'll continue to be successful on very smart golf courses, major championship style that you require precision, but so many of the LPGA golf courses have gotten very, very long. And that's not her strength. Her strength is precision. And I would say the same thing about Morgan Pressel. She's only had 2 LPGA wins. Can you believe it?
I know.
I mean,
yeah.
This is a woman that's been around forever. She's had 50-some top 10s in her career and just 2 wins. But both of those, I mean, both of those players are very similar in style. They succeed much better on a more difficult, tighter, precision, thoughtful golf courses.
Well, Paige, thanks for joining us this morning. Great insight, and we look forward to watching you some more on the Golf Channel.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Paige McKenzie with the Golf Channel.